8:03 the time. Welcome to a Thursday edition of the Mornings with Ed Show. Beautiful and bright for these next few hours. The skies have cleared, the clouds have parted, but that doesn't mean anything here. The rain and the showers will be back later this morning, in about an hour actually, and they'll last throughout the afternoon. And then we've got clear skies from then on, so enjoy it while you got it. As we do each and every Thursday, we welcome in for a conversation, and we're glad to have the mayor of Laguna Beach, Mayor Bob Whalen, stepping in. Good morning, Mr. Mayor. How are you today?
Good morning, Ed. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. Can I tell the audience what you're doing right now, or where you are, or should we leave that alone?
No, that's fine.
All right. The mayor is enjoying some of the finest snow on earth right now, I understand. Where are you? What are you doing?
Up in Lake Tahoe for a few days. I just got a couple of great days skiing in. The snowpack is amazing, which, of course, is great for all of us, right? Because it's going to melt and roll down the hill and replenish our reservoirs. So it's a spectacular winter, really great.
I love hearing that. I love hearing. Now, as a skier, are you a careful side-to-side skier as you go down a hill, or do you just like flying down the mountain?
Somewhere in between. I pretty much go, straight down in a nice rhythm. But now, flying down the mountain, the older you get,
right.
And actually, the biggest concern you have out there is the young kids flying down the mountain, because if they guess you're going to go one way and you zag the other way and they hit you, that's the biggest risk out there. But it's great. It's fun.
Unless you're skiing with Gwyneth Paltrow or something.
Right. Well, there you go.
By the way, we will talk about that on the show tomorrow. Some things I'd like to talk about here, and I appreciate you covering the wide scope of topics that I have planned for you today. I want to start off first with Huntington Beach, our neighbors to the north. And right now they are outright defying the California housing mandate for affordable housing. First of all, give us the importance of us coming up with a plan here. And I'm curious if this is the dumb guy question of the year for you, you'll probably go, God, Ed, that's so stupid. We've been talking about here the last couple of weeks, the artist compound on Laguna Canyon Road. Is there a way that we could package the workspaces from those two compounds into the affordable housing plan that we present?
Well, the good news is we have presented our plan to the state in our housing element, and we got our housing element certified a few weeks ago. And as you say, it's 394 units that we've got to produce over the next cycle, which is 6 years of the housing element. And so we've got work to do. We've got a number of those. We project maybe about 100 or so, 100, 120. Could be satisfied through the addition of accessory dwelling units, ADUs, and there's the number of permits on those is increasing each year. I think we had 80 or so last year. So that's one element. The situation you're describing, I think these are new, they're looking to generate new units. So I think if you could add some units at a location like that, then you could and put some affordability restrictions on them, then, I think you could satisfy the requirements. Under the plan, you've got to satisfy, some of them have to be affordable units, and some of them can be market rate units, and I don't remember the exact number, but the affordable units are going to be the toughest ones for us to produce and satisfy.
Right. And what is the penalty from the state if you don't meet your timelines? Is there a financial cost for us?
Well, they can, the ultimate penalty, they could do that, but they can also take over the ultimate concern or penalty is they can take over land use control. And if you're not complying at all, then there's this builder's remedy law that can take effect where some have tried to, in other cities, have tried to implement it. That if you're not producing your housing, then state law basically says, okay, you can ignore local zoning laws and build whatever you want in terms of housing. Mm-hmm. So, nobody wants to get there, obviously. We want to control the have some thoughtful, you know, good development for Laguna. So we've got to, 6 years will go fast, so we've got to get moving on it.
Right, right. So our neighbors to the north are really walking a dangerous line for themselves there. Last council meeting, we pulled an item, and you allowed some members of the public to continue to speak on the items to give you information to mull over. It's the proposed ordinance changes to the Bluff Top development standards. When listeners tune in to the council, to next Tuesday's council meeting, explain what's going on there for them, please.
Well, it's a complicated topic. There's a lot going on there. But I think two things. One, I think, first of all, the concern that a number of the people commenting have had is that you're going to allow new development, too much new development on the Bluff Top, and we don't want that. I think the primary focus and purpose of this ordinance is to set up a framework, a set of rules that's consistent between the city and the Coastal Commission that allows people to rebuild, maintain, restore their existing properties on the Bluff Top. And, the Coastal has a much more expansive definition of Bluff Top than the city does. So they've got to reconcile a set of rules for the existing homes on the Bluff Top. And I think that's, in my mind, that's really going to be the major benefit of this. Okay. Staff, I know, is going to propose adding back in a provision that says, you know, we've historically had the city's had a 25-foot from the Bluff Top setback, and I know the staff is proposing to add that back in. So in terms of new development, the intent is not to let people expand existing homes or build new homes up to the Bluff Top edge. You know, we heard that loud and clear. I think that's going to be taken care of pretty easily with a couple sentences that staff's going to add. So I think, I think there'll be a lot of input, and we'll see where we get to on that. But that's really the purpose of this ordinance.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that explanation. I really appreciate that, and I'm sure our listeners do as well. And before I let you go, all week long here on the program, we've been talking about guns and the prevention of slaughters in elementary school. Obviously, you know about the Nashville, Tennessee slaughter of children on Monday at the elementary school there. And it brought a lot of questions. People have been texting, do we have enough school resource officers here? Tell me if I'm mistaken. I thought we have a junior high school resource officer and a high school resource officer. With the thought that this happens in elementary schools just as often, should we have school resource officers at the elementary school?
We went from one to two resource officers a couple years ago. And my understanding is that they do spend time at the elementary schools as well. They're not exclusively at the junior high and high school. I think that's a conversation we can certainly have with the, the school district and the police department to see what they think. We've got a joint meeting coming up with the school district in May, I think, sometime. So, we could certainly explore that topic with them and see what they think. I would want to weigh in with our chief as well and see what he thinks in terms of what sort of coverage our resource officers are able to provide at the elementary schools. Mm-hmm. It's just a tragic. I know you've talked about it, and thank you for continuing to bring it up as a topic. It's just tragic how we continue to face these, you know, from Sandy Hook on, right, for years and years. It just never stops. So we have to do the best we can to keep all our students as safe as they can be.
Right. I made the point on Monday, what normally happens in the pattern with what happens and how we handle this is that there's a massacre. We talk about it for a couple of weeks. Nothing is done legislatively. Absolutely no movement at all on guns or the prevention of these kind of things. And we forget about it 2 weeks later, and then something else happens. I want to keep that conversation going. Would you be in favor of having a couple of officers permanently stationed at each of the schools?
You know, I don't know, Ed. I'd want to hear from I want to hear from our chief and see what he'd recommend and what others are doing on that score. I don't know if we'd go that to that extent, but certainly a topic that can and should be discussed every couple of years, and we haven't. We did a couple years ago, so maybe it's time to do it again.
All right. Okay. Well, I certainly appreciate your time and this honest conversation. Mayor Whalen, what's the rest of your day look like? What's a typical day on the slopes going to be like for you today?
Well, today I'm actually going to, I got some work to do down in Sacramento, so I'm a working stiff today. But tomorrow should be beautiful and get out there. Of course, used to be, you know, you'd be there when the lifts got open, and you'd go in for a lunch, and you'd go out there and do it again. Let's just say as you age, the day shortens a little bit. But we'll catch some good midday tomorrow, maybe 10 to 2 kind of thing.
All right, we're gonna wish you the best. Taking care of business today in Sacramento, and then when you're back up on the slopes, Mayor Bob Whalen, as always, thank you so very much for your time today.
Thanks, Ed. Have a great day.
You as well, sir. 8:15 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.